All right, so let's talk about movies, shall we?
Yeah.
As you mentioned, holiday season, and with Thanksgiving coming early, we get more weeks of great holiday movies. So Creed 2 is actually hitting theaters like right as we speak. Like within an hour, Creed 2 will be coming out. The sequel, of course, to Creed, which was the sequel of sorts to the Rocky
and shockingly
movies,
good, right? I thought, for what it was. I did not anticipate that it was going to be what it was.
You know, Rocky Balboa came out in 2006, and that I felt like that was a really good fitting close to the Rocky franchise after the debacle that was Rocky V. Then, a dozen years later, we get Creed. But here's the thing. Not only did Sylvester Stallone participate in the script, which he does with all the movies, but Ryan Coogler was the director just before he went on to do Black Panther. So you had a world-class director, a mega talent, and Michael B. Jordan, who was right on his way to becoming an A-list star. So all the ingredients were there. So Creed was great. Now in Creed 2, and it is, you know, I always say the Rocky movies are basically like superhero movies, but the superhero is a guy with a 97 IQ from Philly who bounces a ball in boxes, Rocky Balboa. But the villains are just like superheroes. Clubber Lang, Thunder Lips, Apollo Creed, Ivan Drago, who in Rocky IV killed Apollo Creed in the ring. It was supposed to be an exhibition, but the ruthless Russian killed the beloved Apollo Creed. Remember what he said? If he dies, he dies. He didn't care. He killed him. So now we move to the present day. Adonis Creed, who is the son of Apollo Creed, is the heavyweight champion of the world. And who challenges him? Victor Drago, son of Ivan Drago.
No!
Because it's pretty interesting what they show us here is that after Ivan Drago lost in Russia to Rocky Balboa, he was ostracized by those bastard Soviets, at the time Soviets, Russians, living in the Ukraine. His wife left him. He had no money, so now it's just him and his son working like horrible jobs, and he's turned his son into a killing machine. So now we got Victor Drago up against Adonis Creed in Creed 2. So there you go. You got your classic buildup. You're going to have a couple of fights that might not go so well. You're going to get your training montages. We got a clip right here. Here's a little clip. Get excited about this.
But you don't think I can beat him? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not going to be here forever.
Then what's that supposed to mean?
It means you got to do some smart thinking.
Oh, you want to talk about smart decisions, Rock? You in this house all alone. Who been taking care of you? Me. I've been here for you. Who else you got? Listen, I'm taking this fight with or without you.
And Rocky does not want to see Adonis Creed because the Victor Drago is this killing machine, and he does not want to see history repeat itself. Oh. He doesn't want to see the son of Apollo Creed in the ring with someone who could literally kill him. So Rocky wants no part of it. So you got all of that. Then you got a nice romance
does he kill
going
him?
On.
Oh, gosh.
There'll be no Creed 3. Drago 2. Yeah. But here's the great thing is they bring back Dolph Lundgren as Drago, and he's great. He doesn't have to have a lot of. He had 9 lines in Rocky IV, but he's really interesting. And they even bring in Brigitte Nielsen, who is Stallone's ex-wife, who plays the ex-wife of Drago, who was Drago's wife in the first one. Remember the cool blonde, 6 foot tall. So you got all these repeating characters, and we see where they're at 30 years later. And then, of course, you're going to get those classic montages where training like crazy, and the classic music that everybody knows, the Rocky theme, to get you all fired up. And before you know it, there we are in the ring, 41 years after the first Rocky, and we still find ourselves cheering for the underdog. So 3.5 solid stars.
Wow!
3-2.
Wow!
Yes, it's sentimental, and yes, it's predictable. All the Rocky films in their own way. Yeah. You know what's going to happen in these films.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fun of the journey. It's the fact that we like the character so much.
Yeah, think about that. 1976, right?
Yeah,
the first Rocky. So it's 42 years.
42 years. You're exactly right. Not even 41. 76. And, you know, Stallone, when you think about it, we talk about Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine, but that was a character, you know, from the comic books. But, you know, he's now played Rocky over 42 years in 8 movies.
Yeah.
That's one of the longest running original characters in movie history.
That is, it's very cool. And the first time you see it, and, you know, there were a billion boxing movies.
Yeah.
But Rocky was one of the first boxing movies in color.
Hmm.
Right? Most boxing movies were in black and white. And he sort of dragged the whole genre up into the modernity of the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see a guy do that. And it was, you know, working class stories. Basically, it was Rambo in a ring, right? I mean, well, that's what he did with the original. What was the original movie? The Rambo movie.
First Blood.
First Blood. Yeah. which is an excellent film.
It actually is. You know, people, after a while, you know, there was one where he played soccer for World Freedom or something, one of the later ones. But the first one, First Blood, which was based on a book, was really good. And Stallone was inspired by Chuck Wepner, lasting longer than anybody thought he would against Muhammad Ali. Right. That was the sort of the inspiration. And it was just, you know, the truth is, he wrote a great script, and Hollywood kept offering him all this money so that Steve McQueen or Robert Redford, these other, you know, kind of blonde leading men would play Rocky. And to his credit, he said, I got to play him. And the script was so good. They're like, this guy's been in like two movies. The Lords of Flatbush, he had three lines, and they let him star in this, you know, smaller budget movie. But that was the brilliant decision right there, because we didn't know the guy playing Rocky, so we could identify with him as Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Right. It was incredible. A Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, was a couple really lines in Take the Money and Run. He's a mugger. He plays a mugger.
Right. He's on a train. He's a tough on a train.
Yeah. You know, but you think about it, Stallone. He was almost 30 at the time, in real life, married with a young son, had no money whatsoever, and was being offered like $300,000 or $400,000 to just hand over the script and walk away. And he said no.
Easy choice.
I must star
right?
in it. Yeah. I mean, that's, I think, you know, 99 out of 100 people say, I got to take the money. And he just said, no, I got to play him. And of course, that turned out to be a $1 billion decision.
Incredible story.
Yeah. And it's just really well done. And same thing with Creed, too. It still has that, obviously, there's a lot bigger budget, but they did a great job. They got Rocky Balboa, the character, is in Philly. He's living in the house he lived in with Adrian, who passed away. And he's got a nice little Italian restaurant called Adrian's with all these boxing photos on the wall, which is about what you'd expect from a 70-year-old Rocky Balboa, right?
There's a funny story today about Michael B. Jordan, the actor from Creed, and of course also from Black Panther, who is become one of the gigantic star in Hollywood now, right?
Yep.
And he says that he actually goes and dips into the DMs on his social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Starts following people who are following him that he thinks are cute, and he's like dating people off of his Instagram account.
I don't think he's the only person who does that.
That's like James Franco made a good career out of that. Got a good run until it turned out someone was a little younger than she said.
It's called sliding into the DMs.
Wow,
bro, it's a thing.
Yes, I know, but. But
it is crazy when you think of someone of that magnitude.
Yes, it does seem just like, asking for trouble is what that seems like.
Especially
if you're a star. I mean, like, because you think about,
It'd be like, the kid that plays Luke on Modern Family was doing it or something, you know? But it's like when you're a major star, right?
Right. You know? See, that's the point. One would assume that you don't really need to slide into the DMs.
Yeah.
I know, but I think if it happens to people, someone might think, is this even the person?
Right.
Like
there's
a really
lot of vetting
big name to do,
especially with that name. You know, there's how many Michael B. Jordan. He's Michael B. because Michael Jordan, of course, the famous actor, already has that name in the Screen Actors Guild off of Space Jam.
Oh.
That's why he's got to be known as Michael B. Jordan.
Great movie.
Favorite movie of all time, isn't it? Space Jam.
Can you imagine if they had the DMs back in the 90s?
Oh my God. All the tales.
Because they had so much trouble.
Yeah.
Darn, if only they had the DMs.
Oh, my goodness.
All that tail that Bugs Bunny was getting for those years.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
He still is.
You got your own rim shot over there? Jeez, come on.
Please.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Creed 2.
All right.
I think it's gonna be an audience.
This makes me so happy.
I like this tangent.
I love the Rocky.
Yeah, that's amazing. I definitely, when they ask me for quotes from the studio, I'll be the only one to give them. He's Michael B. Jordan slides into the role of Creed as he slides into the DMs. Two knockouts.
I think it's kind of interesting how Violetta sort of is admiring him for doing this.
No,
which I think is
high praise.
Weird. Yeah,
it's just I've heard stories when it happens. It's kind of surreal to people.
Well, I will tell you this. It was not a dating situation, but I recently had a vetting situation where I said to the other person, I want you to, just like they used to do in hostage movies, I want you to hold up a sign and write Hello Richard on the paper and hold it up on video, or I'm not going to believe it's you. They did. So.
That's a good test.
That is, yeah.
And boy, was Ivanka embarrassed
that's
when I got that.
That's not typically what people probably get.
All right.
All right. This is taking on a tangent.
She's back, though, by the way. Did you notice? She's back on the vengeance. It's been five days that she's been sick, and now she's... Now
saving
she's like,
it up.
Yeah, here we go. Let's take a look at this. Here we go.
I can talk.
I can talk, and I got thoughts, and I'm all for sliding into the DMs.
And I have DMs.
A nation rejoices. She can talk again.
Michael B. Jordan, follow at Vitapod or what is your
Violetta Pod?
Violetta Pod.
Oh no!
One T.
One. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I need next week off. I'm going to the Australian premiere of Creed 2.
Way
Wait a minute.
That's Melbourne.
I know what that is.
Hugh Jackman.
What is that?
All right. Well, angels heard. Oh, God, Creed.
Oh, no.
No, this is not. No, the movie Creed is not the same.
Totally different.
Oh, no.
I love it. DM me to this. It's going
to change. Yeah, I got your Creed coming up right now. I close my eyes. Begin to pray. I always got a tear in my eye when I listen to Creed.
Ew. Stream down my
face. Arms right open.
And the phone lines.
DM me.
I was going to say, I wonder if Cheesy DJ has ever tried that.
Oh, he would be the best.
Right off the, the 981-7200 lines. That's where Cheesy DJ does all of his dating. I would just like to tell you that the call-in lines and radio stations were the precursor to Tinder.
Oh, what do you mean? You just match them up?
Oh, the number comes up. Remember when you look at the screen?
Well, so not back in the day. It didn't.
It didn't.
Oh no.
Then how did you? Connect?
Oh God. When you maybe Cheesy DJ could tell some stories a little bit later on the program about how that worked. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yes, please.
If you've ever seen Play Misty for Me, you know it doesn't end well.
Yeah, that's a good.
All right,
film.
Can you stick around to the next half hour here? We can talk about the other films that are coming out this weekend and what else is happening.
Absolutely.
Richard Roper is here. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 yes. WGN. It's Mr. Richard Roper with us. Violetta will keep us up to date on what's happening there with the CTA. That's pretty interesting. Thanks.
And we have just a little update now for traffic. Lake Street is also blocked in both directions between Clinton and Canal. That's as police are responding to that suspicious package.
Oh.
Okay, and that's a suspicious package on a train, or is it somewhere? We don't know?
Early reports are that it's on a train, aboard a train.
Okay. Right now there's somebody going, damn it, I forgot my Christmas gift.
Oh, jeez, you know, unfortunately.
In Macy's bag.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Hopefully that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we're talking about the movies coming out this weekend. It's Thanksgiving weekend, so that's a big time for families. They're together. They really don't want to necessarily be together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody has traveled to some aunt or uncle's house or dad's house or whatever.
Right.
And now they're they got to figure out now what do we go see?
The Friday and the Saturday after Thanksgiving, or even later day Thanksgiving, because even then sometimes the family's already starting to fracture. So if you're footballed out, it gets to be about 5 or 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving. A lot of people are like, let's
some people
go to the movie.
Shopping. And some people go to the movies.
A lot of people like to go to the movies. And it's because you can go to separate multiplexes, too.
And you don't have to talk to each other.
And exactly. So that's how that works. Nobody, usually, not during Creed, no one's going to yell at make America great again. Usually. We are taking on those riskies in there. So we got Creed 2.
They're our friends now.
Oh,
he wrote this. This is the wrong thing. I wonder how many people wearing MAGA hats are going to be rooting for the Russian in this case.
It is confusing.
You might want to think about that over the guy, over Michael B. Jordan. It might actually work. Man. All right, go ahead.
So we liked Creed 2, and now we also have coming out this weekend, actually coming up today, Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is the sequel to The Charming Wreck-It Ralph, which, believe it or not, came out 6 years ago. And that was the one. It was so clever because it was about characters inside old-fashioned console arcade games. John C. Reilly was Wreck-It Ralph, who was kind of in the role of a villain smashing houses, and Sarah Silverman was Vanellope, who was the cute little race car driver, and she had a glitch, which was kind of a neat way of having a younger character with a disability, if you will, and overcoming it. So there's a lot of nice messages, and they become really great friends. Now, for Ralph Breaks the Internet, we've moved forward in time, and Ralph and Vanellope have to enter the internet through a modem because they have to go to a place called eBay to get a part for Vanellope's console game because that's the only place that's available. They're selling the steering wheel there. So they're going to go into the internet. So this movie has a really cool representation of the internet. This is a Disney movie. So when Disney does a movie, that means you don't have to pay for the rights to all those Disney characters. It's just up to Disney. So while they're in the internet, there's all kinds of Disney type of, activity. Stormtroopers will go walking by, superheroes, because they own all these various characters. So the adventures in the internet are all about Ralph and Vanellope navigating the internet. The depiction as eBay is hilarious because every item there's like an auctioneer auctioning it off, and then avatars bidding on it like crazy. There's a YouTube, basically a YouTube. They call it BuzzTube, I guess, because they couldn't call it YouTube, but it's YouTube, mm-hmm. where Taraji P. Henson voices the kind of the avatar that controls everything and explains to people. If you're not throwing a cat around or doing something like that, you're just not going to trend. So there's all kinds of neat little inside references going on. And then just a nice little friendship story. My favorite part, I don't want to give too much away about this, but it's really cool, is that there's a moment where little Vanellope, the Sarah Silverman character, happens upon a group hangout where it's all the Disney princesses in the history of Disney animated films, beautiful, all hanging out, having commentary on their own storylines, which is really interesting. And it was pretty gutsy, I think, for Disney to kind of acknowledge certain things about some of the characters. And in the case of all the modern Disney princesses, it's all the voice actors who really do. So you've got like great. Kristen Bell from Frozen, or, you know, all the actresses who voiced the characters of the Disney princesses. So there's a lot of that stuff that the parents are going to get while their kids are just going, wow, this has got a lot of bright colors and it's really cool, and things go zoom and pow. It is PG, so the little ones might get a little overwhelmed by some of the stuff. Not so much frightened, but it's just intense, you know.
Mm-hmm. But they'll notice a lot of characters that they love,
yeah,
throughout the whole movie.
They might not understand why the, you know, the, why the princess from Tangled is also dealing with Frozen, and then here's all of a sudden Pocahontas shows up. What is happening?
So it's kind of multi-layered commentary,
yeah,
about modernity, right?
Yes,
about
absolutely.
The internet and about entertainment and about the role of women in terms of the
exactly.
princess roles.
It's in its own way pretty subversive. Here's a clip.
What can Nosemore help you find today? Umbrella, umbrage, umami?
No.
Noah's Ark? No doubt. Nordstrom Rack? Ergonomics? Urban Outfitters? Cool.
Looks like no one put Humpty Dumpty together again. This guy's a little soft-boiled.
I'm pretty sure he's just trying to guess what you're gonna say.
Yes, I'm sorry, but my autofill is a touch aggressive today.
Let me try. eBay Sugar Rush steering wheel.
Oh, I only found one result for your query. Isn't that interesting?
What? How did you...
Ah, the internet's very intuitive. Thank you, Mr. Nosemore!
Well, you're welcome.
Mr. Nosemore is a search engine, so if you just start saying one letter, you know, or two letters, he starts, you know, intuitive, just like when you're trying to search for something. So,
oh man, sometimes you got to clear your cookies. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because you start looking for things.
Like, wait a minute!
And all of a sudden, wait, no, no,
it's not what I was.
No, I'm not doing that.
Got to delete the browser history.
And it connects,
that's Internet 101.
Yeah. It connects everywhere if you do it on your phone or the computer.
Yeah.
Key component, if you haven't seen Making a Murderer, the second series, is about a certain internet search engine of a certain individual, which is one of the most horrific things you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
And it leads you to believe they might not have gotten the right guy.
So, God, I never saw this. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, so
I like the conversation when we were just sliding into the DMs. That was a little more, yeah, was a little less, not too much into the dark web. And they do go into the dark web in this too. So again, the 4-year-old's not going to understand when a virus attacks the internet in this movie, what's happening. But mom and dad will be amused.
What happens when they check Ted Cruz's Twitter feed?
Oh, well, he's got staffers, as you know, and they do searches.
Don't look up stepsister.
Oh my gosh.
Senator Cruz, write this down. Delete your cookies and browser history on your computer and your phone.
Especially
and all your
mobile
devices.
Your staff searches for.
I like cookies.
Or cookies are
they're
nice.
Always like, they're always like, round up an intern we can blame this on. Who we got out there?
Which one?
Slow check. Somebody's cousin, right? Bring him in.
He's no good.
It's always
anyway.
It's always the intern.
It is.
Cookies is a nickname for Senator Cruz.
Cookies was his stepdaughter's name.
No. Can you just even imagine?
Oh, it was so ugly. It was so awful.
Oh, man.
His next door neighbor was coming over and said, what's going on?
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Oh, jeez.
What is the... how many stars?
Ew.
How many stars for this film?
Three. It does get a little bit too tied up in the self-referential stuff where you almost lose sight of the fun little friendship between the two, but it is a lot of fun.
Sounds
it's
adorable.
A great-looking film.
Seems God, adorable, that little
cool.
friendship.
And what's it called again?
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, Ralph
okay.
Breaks the Internet.
All right.
Didn't Kim Kardashian do that?
I saw the... You know, what's interesting, I saw this on the list, and I was thinking, what could this possibly be?
I didn't realize Wreck-It Ralph.
You liked Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. And it was, you know, at the time, not, you know, considered like a tentpole franchise. Cause it's a little, you know, it's an original story. And, you know, that didn't have the build up a lot of some of these other animated films. But it was just really, you know, sweet and really well done. But yeah, it took 6 years to come up with a sequel. I think the sequel will do really well, too, especially as we've been talking about not that many movies you can take the kids to these days. So all right. They almost all do well.
Is there anything else people should be going to?
Oh, my God. Just stay away from Robin Hood. There's a new Robin Hood out that's the worst Robin Hood in the history of Robin Hoods. They decided to turn it into an action packed buddy movie with 1980 style dialogue set in the 13th century. It is unbelievably, horrifically awful. One of the worst movies of the year by far.
Isn't this got Katie Holmes' boyfriend in it?
It's got Taron Egerton, who's going to be Elton John. It's got Jamie Foxx, who's going to try to buy up all the prints of this movie at some point and have them erased. And it really is.
I mean, that movie.
They came up with, someone had the idea, let's film this like an action buddy movie. So even though it's set back in the Robin Hood days, everyone's wearing like cool leather jackets and there's all kinds of, you know, really, really obvious parallels to modern day politics. And you're like, this is,
I thought it was a bit when I saw the trailer.
It really does. It's unbelievable.
Like, is this like a Saturday Night Live bit?
That's what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like. It's like, you know, they actually film it and display it like an action movie, you know, a modern action movie with the banter and everything, except for it's Robin Hood. And it's just so bad and so stupid. There's a training sequence in this, just like there is in Creed.
Rocky shows
where
up.
Little John trains Robin Hood, like with weights and everything. I'm not kidding you.
In the 13th century?
Yes, in the crusade, in the middle of the Crusades.
They're shooting him up.
I'm
like
not kidding you.
Bro, we got a pump. Bro.
Dude, curls for the girls.
Yeah.
Did they have
moose in the gym?
They have protein shakes back
it's
then.
It's so bad. They actually do. They're like they're eating special foods and like he's doing push-ups and working out with weights. And then there's like a Harvey Dent character that they just completely rip off from the Batman movies. A good guy who gets half his face boiled and then becomes the bad guy. I mean, it's like you should get sued by DC Comics for this. It's so bad.
Oh.
Insanely bad. It's so bad that if it's on one time you're home and you're in your second box of wine, you might want to watch it.
It's that bad. It's bad. It's entertaining.
Robin, let's go pump some iron, bro. You should talk during this movie. As much as I hate when people talk during the movie, say, what did you? What?
Look out, Jamie Foxx! You're gonna get hit by a dumbbell. You can't bench that, Jamie Foxx.
Maid Marian has the most sophisticated makeup and mascara that I've ever seen on a woman in modern times.
It's like she looks like she's going to the clubs. Does she look like she's going to Concrete Cowboy?
She
afterwards?
Does. It's insane. As she's feeding the starving people of Nottingham because the sheriff is a one percenter.
No.
Yeah.
Do they say 1%?
No, they don't say 1%, but pretty much. It. There's a lot of talk about, like, you know, redistributing the wealth. We will never do that. We must make Nottingham great again. I'm not making this up.
Red hat.
I was at this movie. I'm telling you. I couldn't believe
it. It's hard to believe. Oh. Yeah. I kind of want to see it, though, now.
Yeah, of course. Taron Egerton is, it's interesting, he's one of these guys who's, you can't recognize him from film to film, right?
Yeah, he's in those Kingsman movies, this, you know, Secret Service things. He's got talent. But that's the other thing, too. He's a slight fellow. Yeah. He's playing Elton John next summer, okay?
Right. And young Elton John.
Yeah, I mean, look, and over the years, you know, everybody from Errol Flynn to, you know, Kevin Costner to Russell Crowe has played Robin Hood, but, you know, in their own ways, those are men, you know, who can... And this kid looks like he got a bow and arrow set for his 7th birthday, and he, you know, and he looks like the lead singer in a boy band. Like, this guy's not going to beat anybody.
All right, stand by, everybody.
Don't see that one.
Stay away from
that. Stand by.